Ladies and gentlemen, good day and welcome to the APAC Durables Limited Q1 FY 2027 earnings conference call hosted by ICICI Securities Limited. As a reminder, all participant lines will be in the listen-only mode, and there will be an opportunity for you to ask questions after the presentation concludes. Should you need assistance during this conference call, please signal an operator by pressing star then zero on your touch-tone phone. Please note that this conference is being recorded. I now hand the conference over to Mr. Manan Goyal from ICICI Securities Limited. Thank you, and over to you, sir.
Thank you. Good morning to all. On behalf of ICICI Securities, we welcome you all to Q1 and FY 2027 result conference call of APAC Durables Limited. Today, we have with us senior management represented by Mr. Ajay D.D. Singhania, Managing Director and CEO, and Mr. Rajesh Kumar Mittal, CFO. Now, I hand over the call to the management for their initial comments on the quarterly performance. Then we will open the floor for Q&A session. Thank you, and over to you, Mr. Rajesh, sir.
Thank you, Manan. Good morning, everyone. Welcome to our earnings conference call for the first quarter of financial year 2027. I would like to thank ICICI Securities for arranging today's earnings call. The key financial highlights for the quarter one of financial year 2027 are as follows. For the first quarter under review, revenue from operations stood at 886 crore, which grew by around 34% on year-on-year basis. During the current quarter, the company has not accrued any PLI income. However, the company had accrued the PLI income of rupees 13.31 crore during the first quarter of financial year 2026. The EBITDA for the quarter was 55 crore, increased by around 0.70% on year-on-year basis. The EBITDA margin reported at 6.21% as against 8.24%. The net profit was 11.8 crore. An important comparability on PLI income. Before going further, I would like to flag one item that affects how should we read the margin comparison. The company has not accrued any PLI income in the current quarter of financial year 2027, whereas we had accrued around 13.3 crore of PLI income for the previous quarter on year-on-year basis. This margin was set in the quarter revenue, and because it carries no associated cost, flowed almost entirely into EBITDA. If you strip that 13.3 crore out of both the revenue and EBITDA base for financial year 2026, last year underlying EBITDA margin was closer to 6.4% and not 8.24%. On like-to-like basis, our year-on-year margin improvement this quarter is closer to 15 basis points and not 203. Now, I would request our Managing Director and CEO, Mr. Ajay D.D. Singhania, to brief you on the operational highlights. Over to you, sir.
Thank you, Rajesh. Good morning, everyone. APAC Durables continues to strengthen its position as a leading living appliances original design manufacturer. While room air conditioners remain an important part of our portfolio, we are steadily expanding into higher growth, better margin categories as part of our long-term diversification strategy. Over the last few quarters, we have made significant progress scaling our small domestic appliances and large domestic appliances, as well as component business, which are seeing encouraging customer traction and growing order pipeline. This is gradually delivering a more balanced revenue mix and reducing our dependence on limited set of customers for finished product. Our focus remains on broadening the customer base, deepening relationships with existing customers, scaling newer product categories, improving resilience, supporting margin stability, lowering customer risk, and building a stronger foundation for sustainable profitable growth. As results are already shared by Rajesh, I'm pleased to report a strong start to FY 2027, with company delivering its highest ever quarterly revenue of 886 crore, with a growth of almost 34% year-on-year. This reflects healthy momentum across the portfolio. Our core RAC business continued to grow strongly, while small and large domestic appliances as well as components scaled up encouraging pace, led by air fryers and washing machines. The growth was broad-based and reflects continued benefit of our diversification strategy. we now serve more than 72 customers across 19 product categories, thereby sharply reducing our customer concentration and materially de-risking our revenue base, even as absolute revenue from this customer has grown significantly. We have added 3 new product categories in this quarter alone, while 4 new categories are in pipeline for later in the year. On branded side, our partnership Hisense continues to build well. Through the peak season of up to June, which is Jan to June, we produced close to 60,000 air conditioners under this partnership. It contributed approximately 65 crores of revenue in just quarter one of this financial year. While the quarter saw some pressure on margins and prevailing commodity and currency conditions, our focus remains on sustaining growth momentum while improving operating efficiencies and strengthening profitability as we scale. Our read on quarter is straightforward. We are winning share, scaling the top line strongly, and near-term profitability is being held back by the investment cycle and increase in input costs rather than by weakening in demand or competitiveness. The task ahead is to convert this scale into operating leverage. Our priorities are threefold. First, scale the growth engines, sustain RSE margins while ramping washing machine and LG capacities, which remain our fastest growing and most margin accretive categories. Second, deepen strategic partnerships and position EPAC as preferred manufacturing partner across multiple product categories with our key customers, enabling deeper integration and long-term contracts. Third, rebuild margin, convert scale into operating leverage as new facilities absorb volume, localization deepens, and our value addition and product mix normalizes towards higher margin categories. We have new product, new customer pipeline across SD, LD and components heading into the rest of FY27, and we remain confident in long-term growth opportunity across our business, supported by our expanding product portfolio, strengthening order book, new customer acquisitions and ongoing capacity expansion. With this, we now open the floor for Q&A.
Thank you. We will now begin with the question and answer session. Anyone who wishes to ask a question may press star and one on their touchtone telephone. If you wish to remove yourself from the question queue, you may press star and two. Participants are requested to use handsets while asking a question. Ladies and gentlemen, we will wait for a moment while the question queue assembles. The first question comes from the line of Sukrit Patil with Eyesight Fintrade. Please go ahead.
Good morning to the team. I have two questions. The first question to Mr. Ajay is, so to understand the forward guidance, beyond the regular outlook, what are the top 2 to 3 execution priorities you are focusing on in the next few quarters? And alongside that, what do you see as the biggest risk in demand shifts, regulatory changes, or competitive pressures? And how are you preparing to manage them while strengthening EPAC's position in the appliance manufacturing? That's my first question. I'll ask my second question after this. Thank you.
So please, can you please repeat? There's a lot of echo in your voice, or I think you're on the road or something.
Yeah, I'll just repeat my question. Just want to understand beyond the regular outlook, what are the top 2 to 3 execution priorities you're focusing on in the next few quarters? And alongside that, what do you see as the biggest risk in demand shifts, regulatory changes, or competitive pressure? And how are you preparing to manage them while strengthening EPAC's position in the appliance manufacturing space? Just want to understand forward-looking guidance on this. That's my first question. I'll ask the second question after this. Thank you.
So, Sukrit, although your question is not very clear, there is, I think, a lot of voice modulation which is happening because of the background. I'll try to answer it what I understood. So, in terms of the outlook for the appliances industry for the coming 2-3 quarters, definitely, first of all, air condition is having the tailwind still continue, and we see long-term growth story for air conditioners, our core manufacturing product category. On top of it, the other appliances in which we are expanding very aggressively, like the small and the large domestic appliances, each of the newer categories, whichever we are adding, we see strong growth momentum, a lot of customer traction, and as we continue to add newer customer across categories, we believe that the growth momentum for the smaller domestic appliances and especially for large domestic appliances like washing machine, there is a long-term growth potential, and the growth momentum is going to be much more than even the ECs.
Thank you. My second question to Mr. Mittal is, from a financial point of view, what key risks or challenges do you anticipate in the coming quarters, and what specific measures are being taken to manage margins, cash flow and strengthen the balance sheet, especially in areas like raw material, cost volatility, receivables or compliance? Thank you.
This top line you have already seen, we have grown 34% in this current quarter. As far as this cash flow situation is, cash flow situation of the company is stable, and we don't see that there would be any requirement to increase the working capital or other requirement with respect to the growth in the business. Generally, this, with respect to the cash to cash cycle, we have the working capital days around 50 to 60, depending on the season of the company.
Thank you and best wishes.
The next question comes from the line of Tanay Shah with TAM Capital. Please go ahead.
Yeah, hi sir. Good morning and thank you for the opportunity. I have a couple of questions and congratulations on a strong top line. I wanted to understand, you know, if you can break up the 44% growth which you reported in REC between volume and value.
Yeah. Morning, Tanay. So first of all, in terms of breakup, the total growth for REC reported is 44%. Approximately 30% of which is volume growth, and 12 to 15% is typically the value growth in terms of the increased AOPs and the pass on of commodities. So, a breakup of 44% is 30% volume growth and 14% value growth.
Sure. And so, this 30% volume growth would be largely driven by our anchor customer, correct?
Absolutely.
Understood. And while you spoke about this 12 to 15% pricing growth, what percentage of pricing has to yet be, or let's say the cost escalation yet has to be passed on in terms of pricing to our customers, which would then sort of normalize our margins?
So, Tani, since we are doing, it's a contract for, wherein the prices are updated every quarter, so the price increase for the previous quarter was already passed on, and there any significant increase since then for the current quarter. So this hardly anything remaining.
I'm sorry to interrupt, sir. Your voice is breaking up every. Sir, your voice is breaking up every now and then. I would request you to come closer to the microphone. Thank you.
So, Tanay, am I audible now?
Much better. Yes, sir. If you could just start again, yes, please.
Okay. So, Tanay, first of all, since based on our contract with the larger customers, the prices are updated every quarter. And hence, most of the price increase was normally passed on. Whereas there is always a time lag between passing the price increase and when it actually impacts, especially in the turbulence of the global supply chain and the global scenario, especially impacting March, April. So there was a time wherein the price increase was not totally passed on. But yes, contractually it is being passed on, and there is hardly anything balance to be passed on as of now. What impacted us most for the last quarter was especially the forex exchange rate. So that is one line item we'd like to flag, which the forex loss is something which has impacted us largely. But otherwise, most of the commodities has after a time lag is typically passed on.
Understood. So we're saying that chunk of the pricing has been passed on in terms of commodity increases, and forex is something which impacted our margins.
Absolutely.
Understood. So the other question which I had is, now obviously given that the season is largely behind us, what are the current inventory levels? Are they comfortable, or, you know, any insights on that in terms of, you know, demand trends, inventory levels, etc.?
So then I think, especially for the AC industry, this current situation is one of the most comfortable situation for the entire inventory point of view, especially from finished good point of view. Compared to last year, wherein we were, there was a lot of pain in the industry because of the inventory overflow and the accumulated inventory. I think this is one of the best year or time wherein the trade has mostly liquidated its inventory, and the inventory levels are at the lowest or than the acceptable level. So my estimate here would be, all put together, the trade and the brands and everything put together, the inventory level would be anywhere at 3.5 to 4 million maximum. So inventory levels are lower than what actually is at this point of time.
Perfect. Perfect. And one last question is, how has our working capital and debt moved, let's say, between 4Q and 1Q year-on? Rajesh, if you could possibly help us with that.
I already explained that the working capital days, because if you see in the first quarter, the working capital days are usually lower because you see the balance sheet that is computed on the proportionate basis. Practically, if you see the working capital with respect to APR and inventory, it's coming down 60 days. And it was a little lower compared to the March ending.
So then just to add on to Rajesh's comment, two things interesting to note here is, especially on account of the BIS and the revisions which are happening, I think industry has communicated its pain that we have been carrying more than the requisite inventories. So that at times we have known that the compression PLI or the QCO getting amended, and then again the copper QCO getting amended. So the timeline or the time available at the peak season mandates us to maintain more than the required inventory. So last few quarters, if we see the inventory levels have been highly escalated on account of this. So this is one area which has led to a greater requirement of the working capital. So as we move through the season, definitely end of the season, we again are left with inventories because when we build up inventories in anticipation of the upcoming season. So for us, the key focus area remains from a working capital point of view is to normalize the inventory. Currently, inventories are at much comfortable level as compared to the last year, but then still slightly escalated. So our efforts continue to normalize them as we move forward.
Understood, sir. Understood. And just on this note, since you mentioned about compressors, do you expect any sort of trouble, let's say, down the line into the new calendar year, given that the BIS would be expiring in March 27? Or do you feel like there is sufficient capacity which are coming on stream by the end of this year, which should take care of our domestic demand?
Especially in terms of compressors, the QCO allows us to import for the next few months. But at the same time, the domestic capacity ramp-up has happened significantly. And as an industry, we believe that there is sufficient capacity to cater to the industry for the coming season. So we don't see much of a challenge as far as compressors are concerned.
Perfect, sir. Perfect. Thank you so much for answering all my questions and wishing you all the best. I'll come back in the queue.
Thanks, Praveen.
The next question comes from the line of Nishita with Sapphire Capital. Please go ahead.
Yes. Hello. Am I sounding?
Nishita, you're sounding quite muffled. Please use your phone on the handset mode in case if it's on hands-free.
Yeah. Is it better now?
Yes.
Hello. Yeah. So I had a few questions. So my first question is that in the presentation, you mentioned that our PAT is lower and it's been impacted due to high depreciation and cost. Just wanted to understand, is the depreciation and cost that we had in Q1, should we take that as a base depreciation and finance cost for the whole year, or is it going to be year-round?
So Nishita, to answer your questions, the Q1 numbers for the depreciation are more or less aligned for the rest. So it has increased as compared to Q4, so because the new capacities have been put to use. So there isn't any significant CapEx in pipeline or CWIP in pipeline for the rest of the year. So we can safely assume that there is not any significant upside to the current depreciation level.
Okay. And what about the finance cost?
Finance cost has also gone up slightly because I told you that the requirement with respect to the scale of the operations, the company has seen a growth of 40% in this current quarter as compared to the previous one. Accordingly, there is an increase in the working capital requirement, and the finance cost has also gone up by around 3-4 crore as compared to the previous one. It only has.
Going forward, can we expect the finance cost to come down?
Yes. So Nishita, as I was answering to the earlier question, For us, the area of improvement with regards to working capital or finance cost currently is the inventory, I mean, normalization of the inventory, which, whereas it has happened largely over the last few quarters if we see, but yes, a lot of work still needs to be done there. So yes, there is an opportunity and scope to improve the finance cost.
Okay, understood. Understood. And my next question is on CapEx. What was our CapEx spending in Q1? What is it going to be for the whole year?
So, for Q1 ended, there hasn't been any significant CapEx. Roughly 10 crores is what has been booked. And going forward, based on our earlier plans, which was announced last year, we were looking at a total CapEx of around 450 crores, of which currently 330-340 has been already booked, and 40-50 crores is something which is currently in CWIP.
Yeah. So, you were talking on CapEx.
Yeah.
You mentioned that we've already booked 40-50 crores in CWIP.
Yeah. So Nishita, I was answering your question on CapEx. So out of a total budget of 450-odd crores, which we announced in the beginning of FY26, out of which 340-350 is something which is already booked. An additional 10 crore of CapEx has been booked in the last quarter, Q1 of FY27, and almost 40-45 crore is something which is in CWIP. So we are estimating a total additional CapEx of around 60-70 crores for the balance of the year.
Okay, understood. And my last question would be on, so we've seen very good top line growth in Q1, around 34%. So what sort of growth can we see for the full year FY27? And is there any scope to improve our EBITDA margins from the current level, or are they going to stay in the same range of 6% for the whole year?
Nishita, so in terms of top line forward-looking numbers, as you know, we don't share any forward-looking numbers. But yes, for AC, we are very confident that this year the industry is expected to grow at around 20%. So we would definitely surpass the industry growth as we have done it in Q1. And our other sectors, our other product categories, the small and the large domestic appliances are definitely growing at a much faster rate. So yes, we are looking to grow much faster, much better than the last year. On EBITDA side, currently, yes, 6.5% has been the typical EBITDA net of PLI or excluding PLI for the last couple of quarters. But herein, the important thing to note is approximately 1.5%-2% has been the PLI benefit, which was typically partly passed on and partly retained by the company. So since current year is the last year of PLI benefit available for ePac, we have already started rolling back the PLI discounts or benefits what were shared with the customer. And we are looking at almost completely reversing the PLI discount passed on to the brand customers by the end of the year. So we are hopeful that by the end of the year, the entire PLI discount would be reversed, and next year onwards, we'll be able to see more of a normalized EBITDA.
Okay, understood. Thank you so much.
The next question comes from the line of Rabindra Nayak with Nirmal Bang Securities. Please go ahead.
Good morning, sir. So am I audible?
Yeah.
Hello. Am I audible, sir?
Yeah.
Yes, Rabindra.
Yeah. So actually, in this quarter, what is the total volume that we have done in the first quarter? And if you can give the particularly from the fully built-up unit and the indoor and outdoor units, how much we have done in this quarter in total 622 crore sales, that would be helpful. So I will come to the next question after that. Thank you.
So Rabindra, we don't typically give out the number of units sold. But like I was answering the earlier question, in terms of the number of units sold, the growth, especially for air conditioning, is 30%.
Sir, I cannot listen to you properly. The voice is completely echoing. I'm not able to hear you.
Okay. Rabindra, am I audible now?
Still, it is echo.
So Rabindra, am I audible now?
Sir, you are audible.
Yes, sir.
Okay. In terms of the number of units, we have never historically given out the number of units sold data. But as like I was answering the previous question, in terms of the number of units sold, the growth for last quarter is 30% vis-a-vis FY26, and overall revenue growth is 44% as far as air conditioning is concerned.
Okay. And sir, regarding the compressor issue, actually, you actually did this question in the previous participant, but I cannot hear you properly. So can you please repeat your comment on what is the compressor outlook for the industry and what is the compressor for we have booked for now for our requirement in 27? And one of your competitors has actually mentioned in the call that there is a significant the ban is going to be effective from 1st April for next year. So how we are placed for the compressor booking and how the industry is placed for the compressor booking? If you can give a comment, that would be helpful, sir.
Mr. Ravindra, as far as compressor is concerned, and the government has allowed import of compressors till end of this year. So that is when till the imports can be done. At the same time, the domestic capacity is already installed and in pipeline, which we believe will be operational by end of December. It's mostly in line with the overall industry demand. Hence, we don't foresee any significant challenge in terms of procuring compressors. So we see that there is enough domestic capacity already installed and in pipeline, which is sufficient for the industry's demand. To your next question, in terms of peer setting up compressor capacity, we don't comment on peer strategy, but as far as EPAC strategy is concerned, we are not looking at setting up any compressor capacity in near term, and we believe that we have strategic tie-ups with both the large compressor suppliers, and we will continue to harness our relationships with them.
Okay. And sir, this disputed sales receivable that you mentioned in the note, is it related to air conditioner, right?
Ravinder, can you please repeat your question?
The disputed sales that is around 190 crores that you have reported in the notes and accounts, is it related to the air conditioner business, right?
Mr. Ramindra, are you on loudspeaker or something? We are not actually able to understand.
Okay. So, okay, sir, regarding this, I am just coming to the light and domestic appliances, small and large domestic appliances. Can you please give me the breakup of the how much it is from the light and the small?
So Mr. Ravindra, to what best I could understand your question, this is, I think you are on the loudspeaker. So what best I could understand, the growth of domestic appliances for the last quarter is 68%. So there has been a growth of 68% in the small and large domestic appliances as compared to Q1 of FY26.
Thank you. The next question comes from the line of Ayush Jain with Equity Advisory Services. Please go ahead.
Yeah, hello, good morning. Hello.
Please go ahead, Ayush.
Yeah, good morning. I just wanted to know about the XRAC or outlook and capacity utilization for the whole year. Hello. Yeah.
So, in terms of capacity utilization across three plant categories which we had, Dehradun, Bhiwadi and Sri City. For Q1, Dehradun and Sri City capacity utilization was closer to 90%. And as far as Sri City is confirmed, we have seen a significant improvement in utilization of Sri City. From previous reported of less than 25, we have achieved almost close to 50% utilization of Sri City for the Q1.
Pardon, how much?
Closer to 50% is what we have seen the utilization of Sri City. The other two older plants, Dehradun and Bhiwadi, for Q1, where the utilization level was more than 85%.
Okay, and this is of XRAC, right? Hello?
Including RAC.
Hello? Including RAC. I just wanted to know XRAC actually.
So there is no split because the manufacturing facilities are fungible. So it's not just the assembly line, it's the overall manufacturing because we have huge amount of backward integration components getting manufactured within the same facility. So when we talk about capacity utilization, we talk as a whole.
Okay, and this kind of level is sustainable for the whole year?
This is the Q1 number, Q1 FY27.
Yeah, Q1 number, but the outlook for the whole year actually.
So last year's FY26 numbers, the overall plant utilization of Bhiwadi and Dehradun again was close to 55%, and that of Sri City was less than 25%.
No, for this year, your outlook for FY27?
So we are looking at overall utilization of all three plants put together at more than 60%.
More than 60%, including Sri City, right?
Yeah, the average utilization of all the three plants.
Okay. I'm just looking for operating leverage part on the Sri City plant. If it goes above either 60% utilization of the whole year, there can be substantial upside on both the top line and the bottom line, right? So when can we expect the same for the Sri City plant to get really on board on the company's accounts?
So I was mentioning, the ramp-up of Sri City is something which is gradually improving very fast. So compared to last year, we already doubling the utilization, the seasonal utilization at least. And the company with its current robust order book is very confident that the utilization is going forward, especially for Sri City, where there has been a concern over the last few quarters, improving significantly. And the overall annual utilization definitely achieving around 55 to 60% is one figure that we are targeting at, and as we move closer to it by the end of this quarter, this financial year, we will continue to monitor it and definitely increase it. So the overall outlook of the company is to bring all the three plants at improved utilization by the product mix, especially the non-AC business. So the whole idea behind ramping up the non-AC business is to improve the utilization for the non-AC season. With this approach, we are very confident that the overall utilization of the three plants will improve significantly.
Okay. And my next question is on the line of Hisense, your JV with Hisense. How is it coming up?
Hello. So, in my opening remarks, like I mentioned, for the entire season, which is Jan to June, we delivered close to 60,000 air conditioners to Hisense with a revenue of
60,000 to Hisense.
660 was total volume delivered for the first half, that is Jan to June, a revenue of 120 odd crores from AC business alone with Hisense. If we talk about just Q1, the volume was 35,000 with a revenue of closer to 65 crores. So that was the total Hisense growth for AC business. And for washing machine, as we have maintained earlier, end of Q2 is the target date when we believe the front load washing machines pilot productions will start, and we are on track to begin the front load washing machine productions by end of October.
Okay. Hisense is doing a lot of marketing, and they have huge plans for India, right? So you being a preferred partner with them, do you see the top line to grow like 2-3 times in 3 years time? Your top line with Hisense?
Definitely yes. Especially with regards to Hisense, from the day we signed the MOU and all the announcements till date we have done, we see that the growth envisioned and the timelines agreed are being adhered largely, and the plans are intact and in place. And as Hisense continues to grow into a larger significant appliances brand in country in line with their vision, we believe that our growth journey with them will continue, and we'll scale newer heights with them in the coming years.
Okay. And the last question is, since copper prices are increasing like anything, right? And it doesn't seem in the near term it will stabilize. So how do you hedge, or do you do some thing with that? Keep pre-order kar liya ya to kuch matlab? So you maintain an inventory for the raw material or something like that?
Okay, are you sure, as far as commodities is concerned, whether it is forex or
copper,
aluminium, and any other commodities, we don't do any forward booking in anticipation of orders. Whatever orders are confirmed by the customers, there's a back-to-back booking done for them in line with the agreements. And whatever increase, decrease happens over the quarter gets passed on in the next quarter. So as a company policy, we don't do any forward trade or unknown booking in anticipation of booking any profits. So we refrain from doing any trade without confirmed orders and acceptance from the customer.
Okay. Thank you.
Thank you, Ayush.
A reminder to all participants, you may press star and one to ask a question. The next question comes from the line of Pratap Maliwal with Mount Intra Finance. Please go ahead.
Hi, am I audible?
Yes,
yes, Pratap.
Yeah, hi, thanks for taking my question. I just wanted to ask, when we break up the revenues from the SBI LBA, can you tell me what the current revenues we have from washing machines and how this is expected to scale up with the Hisense production from Q2 onwards? That's my first question.
Okay, so I can answer your questions in a way which makes it simpler. The total revenue out of 886 crores, approximately 660 is something which comes from room AC, and the balance is non-AC, which is a mix of SD, LDA and the components. So that's the closest answer I have. This is the numbers available with me currently. SDA, so I don't have numbers right now with me, especially for washing machine. SDLDA from approximately 80 crores last year has grown to 130 crores. So there's this small and large domestic appliances.
Yes, sir. What I'm trying to understand, if I look at the last two quarters, Q2 has been a loss-making quarter for us at the PAT level, and the EBITDA margins have been 0 to 2% last two quarters, the September quarter if I look at. So what I'm trying to understand, now that we're getting into washing machines, which I believe would be higher margin as you said, which should also reduce our seasonality in the top line and the margin accretive. So going forward structurally, can our Q2 September quarter become not just better in terms of top line seasonality and in terms of profitability as well on a structural basis is what I'm trying to understand.
Absolutely. So I think, Pratap, you're bang on target. So yes, Q2 and Q3 historically has been the loss-making quarters because of heavy dependence on air conditions. So the entire strategy around SDLDA is first to neutralize the loss, and we are on track in terms of scaling up the washing machines and the other SDA businesses. And like I shared in my opening remarks, we are constantly adding up newer categories in the SDA as well, which is again the non-AC season product. So as we continue our journey, we believe that over next 4 to 6 quarters, we should definitely see the bidding situations coming largely under control for Q2 and Q3. So washing machine definitely is a big lever for us in this journey. And as we see scaling up of washing machine in currently, like especially Q2 as you're mentioning, yes, Q2 and Q3 are significantly good for washing machines in the other SDA categories. But it is a journey which we have embarked, and we hope to see the results coming in line with what you are expecting over next 4 to 6 quarters.
But this Q2, I believe you mentioned that we'll be doing the pilot production from the end of Q2. So for this current year Q2, will we kind of lose all our margins and go into PAT negative? I'm not asking for a guidance, but any directional color if you push.
In terms of washing machine, we are currently manufacturing the top load fully automatic, which is already under production, and we are serving three large national brands, multinational brands in this category. What I was mentioning, especially with regards to Hisense, is the front load washing machine. So that's one category in which probably we would be the among the first starters to manufacture front load washing machines as an ODM, OEM. So that is something which is currently under pilot production, and we believe that is a newer category, a much more lucrative and a higher price category. So front load is something, end of September and October is what we are targeting to start the mass production. The other categories of washing machines, especially the top load fully automatic, is already under production, and we are already serving some micro customers there.
Understood. So what I'm trying to understand here is that our target for FY29 that you've given, the 5,000 crore target, are we still on track? I mean, I know that Q1 was largely on track, but it requires a revenue CAGR of approximately 35% or more. So we should have a plan of significant scale-up going ahead. So are we largely on track for that?
Yeah, so we are largely on track in terms of our overall guidance that the seasonality impact needs to be minimized, and every quarter we are looking at this, we are working to achieve a scenario wherein every quarter is profitable or every quarter the revenue mix is maintainable.
Okay, and sorry to harp on the issue again, but Q2, do we anticipate being PAT positive? No guidance needed, just directionally this Q2, do we believe we can be PAT positive, which so we can see the results of the business model actually turning around. So just any color there.
That will again amount to a forward-looking statement, but like I think I already answered, yes, historically Q2 and Q3 have been the loss-making quarters, and our efforts are on, we are working on this, it's a journey, it will take some time. So 4 to 6 quarters, definitely we believe we should be in a situation wherein we can completely stop this bleeding situation.
Okay, understood. So just last question from my side. The depreciation input that you had given to the line wasn't clear. I believe this quarter we had 16, 17 crores. Did you mention that we don't expect it to increase, you know, just any detail? The line wasn't clear. I couldn't understand our outlook on that.
Pratap, in terms of depreciation, yes. The current depreciation for Q1, we don't see any significant increase over the next 3 quarters. There is a marginal investment which will be booked every quarter. So overall, during the whole balance 9 months of this year, we see an additional capex being booked of closer to 60 to 70 crores, which will be done and then in parts over each quarter. But yes, overall capex of 60 to 70 crores is in pipeline, which will get ultimately booked by end of this year.
Finally, sorry, just one last question. What was the reason for the large rise in the other expenses? Over 50% it rose this quarter.
Other expenses. So, increase in other expenses.
Increase in other expenses, as already mentioned, because in this current quarter, there is a forex loss which has been parked in the books.
Okay.
That is around
okay.
6 to 7 crore. Otherwise, there is no other reason.
Okay. Thanks for answering all my questions. Thank you.
The next question comes from the line of Karan Gupta with Asset C Meta Investment. Please go ahead.
Yeah, hi. On the other expenses part, I couldn't hear properly. So what was the reason for the spike?
I told earlier, other expenses has gone up by basically one reason, as I explained, that around 7 crore forex loss on quarter basis. And because the sales value or the production value of the company has gone up by more than 35% overall, accordingly, the wages cost has gone up.
Okay. Raising cost gone up.
Wages cost and forex cost.
Okay. The second one on the channel inventory, last quarter you said that most of the old rated inventories are at the channel end. And you don't have any old rated, ACs, room ACs now. So this growth is purely the new rated as per the BEE norms compliant products, right? As you said, 44% of growth, right? And what was the at the channel end? The channel end growth or the old rated products are already flushed out, or it is already, or it is in the channel inventory.
So current
to answer, expect the new growth is new rated or what?
Okay. So current, first of all, to answer your question, as a manufacturer, we were mandated to start production of new rated the new BE rated products with effect from 1st of January. So yes, the entire growth, both for last quarter as well as the Q1 quarter, is attributed to the new rated product. So the manufacturers were not allowed to manufacture anything old rated since beginning from 1st of January 2027, 26. So the entire thing is attributed to the new rated product one. In terms of channel inventory, the channel was allowed to sell old rated product till end of June. So based on our understanding, so it's purely an understanding and estimate, we believe that channel has largely liquidated the entire old rated product, and this is why there has been a growth of the new B rated product. So our estimation and approximation is that yes, the old rated B product has been mostly flushed out from inventory. If somebody somewhere has something, I can't estimate, but yes, largely it has been flushed out, because for the past 6 months the new rated products were only manufactured and sold to the trade. So I hope that answers your question.
Yeah, yeah, fair enough, fair enough. On the SDA, LDA side, again, on the overall inventory, what is the inventory in the quarter one? Just to understand, is there any inventory buildup is happening on the SDA, LDA side?
So Karan, for SDA and LDA, it's a very large category with more than 100 SKUs. So you have thousands of SKUs in SDA and LDA category put together. And typically, as we all know, the festive season is the season. So it's October, November is the season wherein the entire season happens. So my only estimate or my only answer is that this is the time wherein the ramp up and the stock inventory building is happening for these product categories. Any estimation, any single category for any single SKU for this product category, I think is beyond my estimation, because there are thousands of SKUs.
No, I mean non-AC inventory or AC inventory. That's the typical bifurcation I want. Broadly.
So, see, my only, okay, to answer your question, as far as EPAC is concerned, our in-house inventory, again, because AC is one category which is larger and more in terms of value, both, and the dependence on import is still there, so we have a lot of commodities here. So our in-house inventory is probably 70 to 75% would be AC inventory and 30% would be the non-AC inventory. So that's the only kind of number I think I can share with you. As far as I understand your question.
Non-AC.
Yeah, 25 to 30% non-AC.
Okay, okay. On the margin side, this product's SDA, as you said, washing machine in the LDA side is comparatively higher margin. But overall, SDA, LDA and component segment, because now the SDA, LDA and component is again, you know, one third of your overall pie. What we can do from here on to, you know, reduce the seasonality in quarter two, quarter three, we need to ramp up this portion of the pie higher than the AC side, right? So just to understand the margin profile of these two segments, and what you can expect next quarter, two, three, or overall the FY27, the growth of this segment. And also you can share the reason of components degrowth of 23%.
So Karan, first of all, yes, I acknowledge and that the overall margins as far as non-AC category, both SDA, LDA is concerned. So SDA, LDA is comparatively more than that of AC by almost, let's say, 1.5 to 2 basis points. So that's the additional kind of gross margin. It's not at EBITDA level, because EBITDA is a blended EBITDA and a lot of manufacturing facilities are shared. But at gross margin level, yes, the SDA, LDA gross margin is typically 1.5 to 2 basis points more than that of an AC. And hence, our entire focus on improving SDA, LDA is driven by that fact. And as we continue the growth journey for SDA, LDA, we are again reaffirming that like we have done almost close to 60% growth in SDA, LDA, the non-AC business over last quarter, our growth momentum is going to be much more as compared to AC. So AC will definitely continue to grow, but at the same time, we see a larger scope of growth in SDA, LDA components category.
Okay, and the component part degrowth?
Component itself will keep growing. Currently, the components catered are largely AC components, controllers and crossflow fans and copper tubings. So they again are kind of seasonal. So here is again we are exploring opportunities to cater to non-AC components, but currently yes, it is in line with the AC group.
Okay. And the last one on the SDA side, how many OEMs as a customer we acquired? Because this particular segment is again consumer durable part is again very competitive as multiple players in the kitchenware segment also. So just wanted to know how much or how many customers that we acquiring or growing our customer base in the SDA segment.
So Karan, as you can see in our investor deck, closing of FY26, we had 72 customers all put together, ACs and non-ACs, and 18 product categories. We have added roughly 2 customers, whereas there are a couple of 2-3 more which are in pipeline. So currently at this time, we have closer to 73 customers and 19 product lines already productionized, and 2-3 more lines are for which PT has, or the pilot production has already been done. So by end of this year, we are looking to have closer to 75 customers and 20 product lines.
Okay. Thank you. Fair enough.
The next question comes from the line of Ayush Jain with Equity Advisory Services. Please go ahead.
Yeah, my questions was answered. Sorry.
The next question comes from the line of Ganesh, an individual investor. Please go ahead.
So good morning. First of all, congratulations for the talking. So can you
Ganesh, I'm sorry to interrupt. You're not audible. Please speak a little louder.
Now it is audible. Hello.
Yeah, there's a lot of yes, yes. Yes.
Yeah. First of all, congratulations for the excellent set of top ends. My first question is on this recent your tailor-made incentive package on from Andhra Pradesh government. Can you throw some light on that, sir? Already we have spent a substantial amount from November 24, I guess.
So sorry, Ganesh, we are not able to hear you properly.
So can you able to hear me now?
Yeah, now better.
Yeah. Sir, my first question is on this recent MOD we received for from Andhra Pradesh for this tailor-made incentive package. Can you throw some light on that, sir?
Okay. Mr. Ganesh, with regards to our MOU with the Andhra Pradesh government, the MOU is about the investments we have committed over next 5 years, starting which is effective till so that's amounting of rupees 1085 crores beginning, starting the investment recognized is from beginning of January 24.
Okay. For 1,000 crores, sir, capex, right?
Yeah, 1085 crores.
Okay.
For which we have been allotted, we have already been allotted a land of closer to 35 acres, and we are looking at ramping up newer capacities as we move forward. So there is something in the pipeline, not in the immediate term future, more of long term future.
Okay. As like PLI schemes, we'll be getting benefited from a for next year. Course of years, sir?
So there is a state incentive available from state of Andhra Pradesh. So approximately, not exactly, but approximately it's 50% of capex which will flow back as subsidy over next 10 years, investment subsidy. So there is a state government scheme which refunds closer to 50% of the total capex as investment subsidy over 10 years.
Okay. And second question is on the EBITDA margin, sir. EBITDA margin, as you stated earlier, it was 7.5%. That's a project anticipated without PLA, right, sir? That's an aspiration EBITDA level.
Yeah. So Ganesh, the current EBITDA without PLI is closer to 6.5%, and we get a PLI income which is practically shared between us and the customers. So over the last traditional, since we have been getting PLI for the last 4 years, we have been sharing almost 50-50 with the customers. So almost 1% was coming to us and 1% was getting passed on to the customers. So like I mentioned in my earlier question, we have already started negotiating with the customers and ruling back the PLI discount, and we are working in a condition wherein by end of this year we should be able to roll back the entire PLI discount which has been passed on to the brands.
Okay, okay, sir. Whether we are eligible, I think FY21 is the last year for us, sir, PLI?
For EPEC, yes, the current year, FY26-27 is the last year.
Okay, 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 okay. And then we have projected, that this 8,000 crores revenue from Hydrant will be for the next five years, right? So with this sale, can we expect the FY25 we can be able to achieve this 5,000 crores revenue, sir?
As already mentioned, we have invested in current quarter amounting to 10 crore, and we had mentioned in the earlier deck also total investment was around 450 to 470 crore, and remaining investment we will be doing in the current financial year. We are already having around 60 crore rupees in AWIP which will get capitalized in the next two quarters.
Okay. So my question is on the revenue from CCT, the Zizek plant. We are projecting around 8,000 crores from next 5 years. With this scale, could we be able to achieve this 5,000 crores target by FY28, sir? It's just an aspiration, I'm asking.
Okay. Mr. Ganesh, the total expected revenue Hisense partnership was...
Yes, sir, you're not audible. Sorry to interrupt, sir, you're not audible. Please come a little closer to the microphone.
Mr. Ganesh, so yes, the total expected revenue from Hisense partnership was 8,000 crores in 5 years. So FY26-27 being the first year, cumulative over next 5 years is what we are expecting to cross 8,000 crores with AC and other appliances, washing machines and all put together. So that a 5 year cumulative revenue what we had expected from Hisense, current year FY26-27 is the first year, and whatever was estimated for the first year, we are largely on track, and I shared the numbers in a previous question that for this calendar year, we have already done close to 120 crores of revenue with Hisense. We have already sold close to 6,000 ACs to them. Yes, we are largely on track for the current calendar year, and totally next 5 calendar years, the revenue expected from Hisense partnership is 8,000 crores.
Okay, sir. Thank you.
Thank you. Ladies and gentlemen, that was the last question for today. I would now like to hand the conference over to the management for the closing remarks.
Thank you all for participating in the earnings con call today. I hope we have been able to answer your questions satisfactorily. I again thank ICICI for arranging this earnings call today. Thank you all.
Thank you, sir. Ladies and gentlemen, on behalf of ICICI Securities Limited, that concludes this conference call. Thank you for joining us, and you may now disconnect your lines.